We magnify you, O God, as we come before your presence to have a time in your presence to feast at your table. And we thank you for the subject matter that you have quickened unto us, drawing our attention to it, and letting us know that our continuing victory in all circumstances of life depends on knowing, appropriating, and living by the blood of redemption. And now, Lord, we pray thee that you may give us further entrance into this subject, and that the practical implications of this might also be clear to us. We look unto you, not only for ourselves, but unto you for all to whom you shall send your word, that they with us might come ultimately as fruit of this message, trophies of grace laid at your feet. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, we are said to be elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, properly understood, the sum total of our walk with God in redemption consists of two things. One, obedience. We are children of obedience, called to obedience. Two, we are called to service. That service is priestly. And essentially it has to do with the blood of sprinkling. Jesus fulfills his ministry by the power of the blood he shed. We are called to the same ministry as members of his body. He is high priest and he is head of the body. So we are members of the body of the high priest, called to the same royal service, king and priest with royal blessings. Amen. And we're looking at the priestly service, and we say it is summed up in this: the blood of the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:2 refers. And we are looking at this subject not just doctrinally, but in the matter that has to do with life, a life application of truth, as it becomes all the more relevant today. It has always been relevant. It has always been the turning point. But it becomes more so today, where we hear such things as we hear and even see in the human society. We know life is precarious for the inhabitants of the earth. But we are not mere inhabitants of the earth. We are a heavenly people called to a heavenly dominion. And the things that belong to our triumph, not just our militancy, but our triumph in the sphere, in the arena of life, we are called to triumph. And the verse of scripture for this practical consideration of truth is Revelation 12:11. If the final victory was won by what is indicated here, we know that for us this is the key to victory. They did what they did, or what is done in verse 11 is done in the power of John 19:30. It is finished. When Christ finished, it was a total overthrow of the domain of darkness. And since Revelation 12:11 refers to the battle in which Satan is ousted, the truth therein is of practical importance to us. Now, We read Revelation 12:11, and I show us a very important truth. Revelation chapter 12:11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Ordinarily, and means two things conjoined: the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Two things. Well, we might look them as two only in the sense of them being two sides of the same coin. The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony are all related and meshed into one. The word of our testimony is actually an expression of the truth of the blood of the Lamb shed, now available for sprinkling. So we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, and we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, and we overcome by the testimony we give, respecting what the blood of the Lamb accomplished on the cross of Calvary. Let us say amen. So they are not two issues, they are one issue. The testimony lives and derives strength from Jesus. It is a prophetic work. Where we give testimony, it's a prophecy. It says, the Bible says the testimony of Jesus is what? The spirit of prophecy. And when we say the testimony of Jesus, the reference is to who he is as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, that poured forth his soul unto death. So two things merge into one. And we are looking at the matter of the testimony that we bear only in the light of the fact that it is a continuing reference to the blood that gives power to our testimony. And of course, we have it here. The sprinkling of the blood of Christ comes by testifying to the victory of Christ. It cannot be said too often. Christ has crushed Satan and his kingdom. We are called to live in the good of that triumph. We are called to enforce it. We can never go down testifying to the victory of the Christ of God. We are not offering mere words. We are appropriating riches, treasures, stored in the blood, and in the reservoir of the blood, given for that purpose. Amen. So we are saying, he comes by testifying to the victory of Christ accomplished on the cross of Calvary. But we do so in the power of the Spirit of the glorified Jesus Christ. To say the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the glorified Christ, is to emphasize that he was risen from the dead. He died to crush Satan. The proof of it is in his resurrection. And the spirit of him who triumphed is now in us. We are not saying words. We are given testimony. And the testimony is effectual because the death of the testator is already known. He is alive in us. He is alive in glory, never again to take flesh and blood. Amen. Glory. So now, keeping close to our meditation, I want to read Revelation 12:11 in the way it is not written, in order for us to appreciate what is contained therein. But brethren, we cannot be ignorant of this powerful missile that is available to us, that turns every side to enforce the victory of Christ and to lift us up to a higher platform. It can only be more glorious for you in the days to come. You will not decline, you will incline. If you come as a sign great and wonderful in the heaven, you arrive as a sign great and marvelous in the heavens. as his growth in the spirit, as his increase of his life, as his reaching higher to the highest, all on the same basis. Hallelujah! That's why it's called the throne of majesty is called the throne of God and of the Lamb of God. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. Not the thrones, but the throne of God. You see him well. You see him well when you see Jesus. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God when Christ is preached on the face of Jesus. Christ is the face of the unseen God. Glory! Thank you, Jesus. So I'm going to read Revelation 12:11 in the way it is not written, so that we understand what is written and your lot in it. So we have Revelation 12:11 before us, and I'll read it. Notice the slight difference. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony, and they loved all their lives unto the dead. So did you get it? Yes. It is not the testimony that is power, but the word that gives substance to the testimony. The word that gives the foundation on which the testimony is derived. The testimony is spoken in faith. Faith is secondary. It must be founded on the foundation. The foundation on which faith is built is the truth of God's word. So the truth concerning what Jesus did and our arising to say it is effectual in me, it is effectual in us, because we know that Jesus Christ crushed principalities and power and rendered them powerless and rendered them less than zero. And we say, this is truth, and we maintain our stand even in the face of our opposition, loving not our lives unto the dead, but we don't die. Glory! So it's the word that gives authority to our testimony. What is the word? It tells us of what Christ has done, of what Christ has accomplished. Amen? And what that great work means for us. Amen? What it has made us. God has done what he says he has done. And we are who God says we are. All streaming for what Christ accomplished on the cross of Calvary. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. So when you say you are who you say you are, it has authority because the word of God says so. So what we speak must be no different. In fact, our priestly services consist in two things, all of which comes in the matter of our testimony. The first is, I am his and he is mine. In fact, it's supposed to be the other way around. He is mine and I am his. You must be conscious of the fact you are not an entity apart. You belong to Jesus. Oh, I like that song, so simple. But so far I say, I'm married to Jesus, Satan, leave me alone. I'm sure these modern day believers have not heard that. I'm married to Jesus, Satan, you must leave me alone, you can't touch me. I am a hot commodity. God places the highest premium on me because of Jesus. I am accepted in the beloved. I am an elect of God. According to his foreknowledge, he knows I will not bring him shame. He has seen seen my end and have confidence that the love that is stirred up in my heart by pouring his own love into my heart, both are capable of bringing me to that end. I am, he is mine, and I am his. That's the first foundation of our priesthood. The second is, he has given me, to say only those things he has spoken. This is the meaning of our priestly confession. Hebrews 3:14 refers. Maybe we should look at that. Hebrews 4:14. Holding fast to the confessing of the word. Which word? What he said? Jesus said in the days of his flesh, by that testimony by which you overcame, he said, I speak not my own words, but the words of him that sent me. As I hear, so I speak. And when the Lord has spoken, you don't pass it through flesh and blood. Can this be speaking of me? Did he say my sins are forgiven me? Did he say he has given me authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy? No, I don't question it. It is the realm of information. He's instructing me, he's educating me, telling me the things that are before him. Hallelujah. That's the authority with which Jesus said, nobody has ever ascended unto heaven, but the Son of Man, who doeth it, is in heaven. So I have right to tell you what to expect because I've been there. I can't. So the word has been spoken, is forever settled in heaven. It will be forever settled in me. I am who he says I am. I have authority to say what he has spoken and only what he has spoken. That's the basis of our testimony. It's full of power. So when you take it, you alter it. Stay with me there. At the beginning, you may be inclined as though fearing, even in your traveling, confess the word. You will never go down. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence. We must be confident, we must be persuaded unto the end. Never stop it. The Hebrews 4:14, quickly, on the account of who he is, we are. Hallelujah! As he is in, that's 1 John 4:17, thereabout, as he is, so are we in this world. The connection is established, and when we so speak, it's a testimony derived from the word. Therefore, it's full of power. It is the word of our testimony. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, the original says, pass beyond the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, that is, there was no one to resist him. All the noise makers, all the vultures and satanists and serpents of this world, they were silent. The spirits indicated by these symbols were there, but they were silent as stone. They could not utter a word. They ran and hid themselves as the glorious Lord rose up. Hallelujah. None spoke. He passed through the heavens. He passed through all powers. He passed through all opposition. But none offered themselves to hold against him. And he was exalted above the heavens, and no one was able to. His word in our mouth is as himself. So he says, let us hold fast our profession. The word there means confessing the word. As we confess the word, is full of power in the name of Jesus Christ. Time must be taken for us to be thoroughly acquainted with what Christ has done, new creation reality. If he says you are seated with Christ in the heavenly places, you are there as the vultures are flying in the middle of it. You can shoot them down by the missile of your word. Glory to God. There is a sphere that dragons cannot get to, vultures and all these things cannot get to. Huh? Over and above, they can't get there. If he says you are seated there, that is where you are. You may stand there in the battle, but you are there. Being divine, you can appear in different places at the same time. Glory! Seated with Christ in heaven, the place of authority. Standing, clothed with the garment that you are the one respecting whom God has spoken, the whole armor of God. Standing. And when you speak, speak with the reality that you belong to the heavens. Shoot all those things down. Amen. Glory to the Lamb of God. The word that tells us what to testify gives strength to our testimony. We must hold fast confessing the word. That is how the word is in the original Greek. Hold fast to our profession. That's to our order of priesthood that consists in saying only those things that Jesus has said. If you get it, shout a big amen. In the name of Jesus. I wonder how many minutes we have to the close of this. But we need to go to this. The defeated and crushed Satan of the crushed kingdom of Satan must be compelled to give his hope on the human race. He's defeated but he's still fighting. He's a bad loser. But we must insist that in the kingdom of our life he has no place. We must insist that the kingdom of our family, he has no place. But we continue to pursue him until we compel him to give up his hold. Who is given the job to do that? We are given the job. I thought we should just read Hebrews 10, 12 and 13 to understand this matter. We must hold to the blood of the Lamb. We must hold to the word of God, revealing the privileges that are ours on account of what Christ did on the cross of Calvary and on account of who he is in his resurrection. He is at rest. He's not fidgeting. No fever, no COVID-19, nothing. He is at rest. Glory. He's not running up and down to see what he can do about anything. Known to God from the foundation of the world are all his works. He is at rest. Jesus Christ is at rest. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Hebrews 10, 12. But this man, Jesus, notice he's called a man because his humanity is indicated. He took up humanity to lay it down as a ransom. He had an existence that predates his humanity. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made. That's the introduction of the one who has seen him and testified, this is eternal life. We have handled him, we have touched him, and now I tell you who he is. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things we are made through him. And without him was nothing made that was made. Then comes verse 14 of that passage. Leave this. It says, and the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we can refer to him as this man, the human Jesus in the days of his flesh. Now notice. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, the language is of man cannot capture the revelation of God. It is a heavenly truth set in human language. And the examiners will not call this good English. But forget about it. Offered one sacrifice for sins forever. That is, it is continuously efficacious. It has loosed you from your sins. It's available to you to break the bond of and hold of sin over another man. And the continuity of the efficacy of the blood through all the moral and spiritual transformation that takes place in your life are by the force and power and word of his blood. Shout amen. Amen. Then what did he do? He said when he has done that, he sat down on what? The right hand of God. Sat down. No shaking, as Nigeria English puts it. No shaking. Hallelujah. Verse 13. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made war, his footstool. How? Psalm 110 verses 1 and 2. So, that defines your mission. Just give us that verse as we close. That defines your mission. It defines your mission. He did what he did and is fully confident that what he did is sufficient to compel Satan to give up and to go into the abyss. It shall be as he has seen, said it, it shall be as it has been recorded. And the instrument, the agencies are you and me. He has confidence in us. We are elect according to his foreknowledge. We shall be successful in our individual lives and in our services. By the blood and by the word of our testimony, we continue to push on. No challenge can survive the constancy of application of the blood and the word of our testimony. Shout amen. Says the Lord Jehovah, said unto my Lord Adonai, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Is an activity of God which he does by supplying the riches of the blood of Christ through the spirit of the glorified Son to his people. By that they are able to walk and win the victory. You win the victory. We take hold of the spirit of suicidal tendencies everywhere. It's multiplying the world today, but we bind it. And wherever we go, we will lose men and women that are bound to the grave and set them free. Then the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Say what? Rule down in the midst of your enemies. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. So let's turn again to this. We say, we see the sufficiency of the blood of sprinkling to execute our mission, this mission. It is indicated in Hebrews 10, 12, 13. Sit at my right hand. He has sat down at the right hand of God, forever expecting until his enemies will make his footstool by the power of the shed blood of the Lamb now available for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.